and welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. This week, I'm your host and Broadway Baby at the same time, Alex Fasella, here with a theater blogger, fan of the show, happy to finally talk to her, Brooke Muller, everybody.
Hello. Hey, Alex. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Of course. So as we begin every one of these, what musicals have you been using to get through this nightmare where the air is poison?
Oh my goodness, everything. I find that cast recordings are like the closest thing that we have to time travel. It's like my whole take on it. So the second you hit play, you're in a new time and place. So that's been what I've been turning to, specifically In the Heights. I cannot stop playing In the Heights. Some days I wake up and my first thought is, oh my God, I get to listen to In the Heights again today. So that's definitely been getting me through.
You're pumped for the movie, aren't you?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm literally counting down the days.
Yeah, what I love about it, and I'm sure I said this on the show before, is that it looks like they took like a magical realism look through it, which is an interesting way. The Broadway show doesn't do anything kind of surreal, but that actually really works to filmize it. I'm really excited to see how it looks.
No, I agree. I am so psyched that, you know, they have a new date for it and everything. So yeah, that's been a big one. And then what I like to refer to as my holy trinity of Hamilton, Hadestown, and Great Comet of 1812. Okay. So those are my three go-to all day, every day.
I love Great Comet. Jane Kimberly did not love it nearly as much as I did, but I think the story is a bit of a mess, but also it made me start reading War and Peace. So
yes. Yeah, it took me a few times to get into it, I'll admit. I like loved the first song and then got so lost by like the fifth song in. And so I did a little research, and then once I like understood the storyline, I was hooked.
Yeah, so it does things where sometimes there'll be a song like the where you meet Andre's dad, and it doesn't feel like it does anything for the story, but then when Andre turns out to also suck, it makes a reference that he smiled the same smile of his dad. You go, oh, if she stayed with him, he would have been a crazy abusive old bit. So it does matter. It just takes a long time to get there. But that's part of like the charm of it.
Exactly. No, it's genius. And clearly I have a thing for, you know, Rachel Chapkin and Amber Page, since they're both,
those are two Chapkin shows.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Have you listened to any other Dave Molloy stuff?
I haven't quite gotten into any other Dave Molloy stuff. I've heard he's got a couple other interesting ones, so I should definitely put them on my list.
Okay, cool. So tell me about your history with theater. I read a little bit in your blog, but I want to hear it from you. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I actually feel like I had an interesting path into the theater world. You know, growing up, it wasn't really a part of my life. I loved putting on performances as a kid. My sister and I were into, you know, classic movie musicals like Grease and Hairspray, High School Musical, but theater wasn't really a thing in my town. It's not like the theater kids in my high school were getting slushied like in Glee, but it just wasn't really a focus of my life growing up. And then I went to college at Elon University, which is known to have one of the top music theater programs. I'll give it a little plug there. And my job on campus worked really closely with the performing arts department. So I was going to a lot of shows and a lot of performances. I started making friends that had done theater their entire lives. So they were really introducing it to me. I actually will never forget the moment that I heard Hamilton for the first time. I can remember the exact location I was sitting, and my friend said, you have to hear this musical Hamilton. And I was like, okay. And they were like, George Washington is an actual character in it. And I, being a history nerd, was like, okay, I'm intrigued. And they played it. And immediately I was like, what is this? Like, this is insane. So then, you know, I dove right into it. It took me a couple weeks to get onto their level. But once I did, I was hooked. And it felt like it just opened up this new door for me. It felt like I had found, you know, a missing part of my life that I didn't even know was missing. And then I just didn't know how to not be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know you were a history nerd. That's fun. And that, in hindsight, that also makes a lot of sense why you and I like Great Comet, because it's literally about the Napoleonic Wars. So it's fictionalized, but like, it's about real consequences of like a thing that blood that also Hamilton called, by the way. He was like, Napoleon is going to take over the planet, or he's at least he's going to try. Everyone's like, you're crazy with your pamphlets. Ugh. And he was...
No, I completely agree. It actually tracks too when I think of like my top three shows, Hamilton, Hadestown, and Great Comet. They all kind of have like that historical like route weaved through them.
Yeah.
So, you know, made a lot of sense. And then from Hamilton, I just started diving into more and more. So Dear Evan Hansen was big at the time. Hello, Dolly was still on Broadway. It's actually the first musical that I saw. And then I was like, okay, this world is wonderful. I have no performance talent. I can't sing. I can't act. Can't really dance. How do I become a part of this world if I'm not a performer? And that was something that I actually struggled with for a while because, you know, not only being late to finding theater in my life and then not growing up as a theater kid and not having performance talent, I started to think like, do I have a place in this community? And is this something I can be a part of? It was almost imposter syndrome a little bit. So I started to think about it and knew that this was something that, you know, was going to start playing a really big role in my life. And I've always loved writing. I'd had a couple blogs in the past. English was always my favorite subject. So I started to think, why don't I combine the two and put together a blog that involved theater, and then I can get the best of both worlds. So that's how Backstage with B was launched. Big fan of alliteration, so tried to tie it in there a little bit. And it was very fortunate. A lot of my friends at school were in a cappella groups. They were in the theater department, in the performing arts. So I was able to start off talking with them, interviewing them, and I tried to give it a bit of a spin so it wasn't just performer focused. So one of my friends worked in the box office, one was a makeup artist. I tried to look at the world of theater from the different angles, knowing that it's so much more than just what we see on the stage. So I had a great time with those initial interviews, and then as it started to grow and I was able to add my own experiences to it, I tried to add some personal pieces in there. And then when I moved to New York, I really feel like that's when it started to take off because I could go to shows more often. I went to Broadway Con, I went to the flea market. I started meeting actors and performers here in the city. So it's been a great roller coaster and really excited to keep it going.
Yeah, when I check out your blog, it felt like one of the kind of main thematic thrusts of it was you're like, I'm late to this, but I have a drive to teach myself about it. And I respect the hustle of anyone who gets up every day and goes, I want to know the thing. I better buy the books and read them. And like, actually, you know, before anyone else even like offers to help them or they apply to anything, they're just like, well, what can I get on eBay for cheap and just burn through? And so now I kind of know. It's like everything you just said, I'm buying what you're selling very much.
Right. I actually felt really connected to you and the podcast too when I dove in because this podcast was a way that I learned a lot of the information. So I felt like, as you know, Kimberly and Jay were teaching you, I felt like they were teaching me as well. So, you know, I would like tune in every week and be like, all right, what's the word of the week? What show are we talking about? And got a lot of my knowledge from the three of you. So it's been really helpful.
Great. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many words of the week we decide on them after one of us says, ah, shit, we forgot to come up with a word of the week. And it's like 10 minutes too. Like,
they're all great though. Everyone I've like noted down mentally in my brain and, you know, it's been like an ongoing glossary. And yeah. I got Jen Tepper's books, A History of Broadway. Anais Mitchell wrote that great book about Hadestown and her creation process there. So I've been really trying to stock up. And then, you know, I love it. I've always been somebody who's dove all into something they're into. I find a hard, like that I have a hard time liking something just moderately. Like I am full in, full set. And on it always. Exactly. So this is, you know, there's so much to learn. There's always something new to listen to. So it's the perfect fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I liked that you wrote about, and you kind of mentioned it just now, the, not just what's on the stage, but the entire theater experience. You had that list of just little kind of seemingly mundane, but feel really cool in the moment things when you're at a show. And the first one hit me very hard. It was that little bit of darkness before the lights come on at intermission. And I was like, I live for that moment. And that's why I get annoyed when everyone's like, I hate intermissions. I'm like, but that's where you get your big thematic, oh shit. Like,
yes.
I live for that.
Angry. That is my favorite moment, honestly, of the entire show. Like that second right before the lights come on or the theater is silent and you kind of have that half second to take a deep breath and be like, wow, like I just experienced that. And it like really starts to sink in and then the lights come back on and you remember like you are just sitting in a theater, but yet it feels like you've been in a different world for the last hour.
Yeah. It's almost the pulling back to reality is like part of the charm where you're like, whoo, did everybody saw that? Right. Like, yeah. Like
especially, at Evan Hansen the two times I went. It was like a good second for me to like wipe away the tears and like take a deep breath and like kind of calm myself before all the lights came back on. So it's honestly one of the things I miss most about theater. I can't wait for my first intermission back.
Yeah, yeah. I am insisting that my show have an intermission when I finish my musical, because like,
yes,
I love them too much to not do that. I'm just like, well, I got like, I've already, before I even wrote it, I was like, okay, I got to look in the start. What's my act one closer? Because I'm going to make a big deal out of it. Like,
you have to. I know. Everybody's so psyched that six is so short and has no intermission. And, you know, that's great. I will be first in line to see six when it comes back. But I've always kind of been like, oh, like no intermission moment in this show. That's okay. I guess I'll get it at the end.
It's like, oh, you mean I got to be in this show the whole time? Like,
exactly. How's your show coming along?
That's pretty good. We were gonna actually have a writing session today, but we had to reschedule it. But I've been just working on any songs I can think of. There's a moment that I completely forgot I needed to musicalize. Have you seen the movie The Patriot?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So without spoiling anything for anyone who's listening that might actually come see my show too much, although this movie's on Netflix, so I'm pretty sure it's more to see what I do with it, if anyone would come at all. So there's a scene in the church where Heath Ledger kind of like gathers the troops and they all join the army. And then something really insane and terrible happens in that same church later. And I thought, how did I not write that song? So what I did was I had a little hymn that they sung to introduce the church scene. And it wasn't like my strongest song, but like it was fine to like set the scene. And so I thought, oh, I'm making a scary tense version for when the insanity starts. So it's, and I've been also very careful to name my songs without giving away the punchline, whether it's comedy or whether it's like something really sad. So like I didn't call it The Fire. I called it like Blessed Are the Lamb's Reprise.
Oh man. You like have me hooked on that moment already.
Yeah. That's
well, if you need a little write up about the show, you know, when it's ready, you know who to call.
I'll send you some demos.
Oh, please. I'd love that.
Awesome. Awesome. So what's a show you'd like to introduce me to that we haven't covered yet?
Okay, I'm going to give you a two-parter here. Because the first, I think I mentioned to you, is 36 Questions, the podcast musical with Jonathan Groff and Jesse Shelton that came out a few years ago. They actually acquired the movie rights to it, so we may actually get to visually see it in the coming years. But I am the biggest fan of that show. I think the writing is brilliant. It's about a couple who's going through some marriage problems and they turn to the 36 questions to fall in love from the New York Times Modern Love column. And that was something that they did on their first date. They think that it sparked their relationship. So if they can get through the questions again, maybe their marriage can be saved. Not going to give away the ending, but I think writing is beautiful. Jesse Shelton and Jonathan Groff. I am the world's biggest Jonathan Groff fan. So I think they both sound amazing in it. So that's definitely one. And then I'll give you a more fully staged musical. Another favorite of mine is Bandstand with Laura Osnes and Corey Cott, Beth Lovell. I think that show is just beautiful from all angles, music, lyrics, acting, choreography, staging. So that's about, it sort of examines the mental and emotional toll of World War II on the veterans who come back, and they form a band of veterans and a widow and compete in a music competition while trying to come to terms with the new lives that they lead. So knowing that you also are a history fan like me, I feel like that might be one you're into.
Mm-hmm. And also you had me at Beth Lovell. So like,
oh my God.
You could have told me nothing else. And I'd be like, I'm my finger's already on the Spotify. Like while you're talking, like,
oh, absolutely. I saw her in The Prom the night before it closed standing ovation after the ladies improving. I thought we would never sit down again.
I don't know if it's just the headspace I was in, but when I saw The Prom, I swear to God, when the show ended, it sounded like a huge sporting event had just been won. Like, it was applause. Like, I don't even, it could have been just because I was paying such attention to it.
Right.
I don't even remember the cheering being that loud at Hamilton. Something about The Prom's ending, it feels like, go! Like, it literally feels like a like athletic kind of a thing.
Oh, it blew me away. And to be like so close to the closing, everybody was so emotional. And
yeah,
the show that I went to on my own, I like to go to shows by myself sometimes to like fully take in the emotion. So I was glad I went to that one alone to like really take in the whole environment.
what's a show you went to alone that you felt like being alone actually improved the situation?
Hades Town, hands down. I actually told my friends, I was like, I will love to go to this with you eventually. I need to see it myself the first time because I already felt so emotionally attached to the show. But then to be able to see it alone and like really live in the moment and live in the story, like obviously I knew what the ending was going to be, but there was something about it where I thought maybe it would be different. Which
that's
sounds
trick. Crazy. That's what they
how to do it.
The genius of that show is they tell you, this is going to be really sad. And you kind of don't believe them. And you're like, oh, they meant it. And like, what's great is that even the characters are like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, we know it is, but it feels like it should. Like,
we could do a whole 3 hours on how much I love Hades Town, but yeah. I had tears coming down my face all the way through curtain call. And then of course I do raise a glass at the end. And I was like standing there clapping and like crying and so glad I was, you know, in the dark still, so nobody could see the tears coming down my face. But
it's interesting that you say that show, you liked going to it alone, because now that I think about it, like the voices in your head when you're alone is kind of a running theme of that show. Like when he's trying not to turn around, they're like, you're going to fuck this up. And he's like, no, I won't. Uh-oh. Like it's the kind of almost like a, this might be too lofty, but I see if it makes sense. Like the process of self-gaslighting feels like it's at work in that show a few different times for certain characters, especially, what's his name? Reeve Carney, the
Morpheus.
Okay. Yep. No, Orpheus. Okay. Yep. Morpheus is from the Matrix. Okay. Yes. How did you feel when Hades Town question.
Yeah.
When the floor turned out to be a bottomless pit, did you freak out like I freaked out?
Oh my God, I gasped.
I was like, ah!
Oh my God. I like grabbed the sides of my chair and I was like, what? Like, what just happened?
Yeah. I saw Hades Town because a friend of a friend won the lottery and nice. He sold me the ticket real cheap and we were in the balcony and like we were good enough friends that we would have sat together and be fine, but we were apart and we were kind of just like waving at each other like thank you. And so at act break we're just waving at each other. I'm texting him like, hey Andrew, this is really sad. Like,
yeah,
like I know, right?
So sad. They have the horns going and you know they tell you, but the emotion out of that show is unlike any show that I've experienced. Like I walked home from that show last night or the night that I saw it and the lights felt brighter and like it just felt like nothing bad could happen in the world because that piece of art existed in it. And you know, it sounds cheesy, but I have gone back to that memory in my head so many times throughout quarantine to remind myself that like we will get back to that again one day and we will feel those feelings again. And you know, Broadway will be back and I just keep waiting for that night. And I think the emotion of it is going to be so overwhelming.
Yeah, eventually, at some point, once we get vaccines and once we get our shit together, we will get that little bit of darkness before intermission. And it's going to be so good.
Oh, please wear your mask so we can sit in the dark for half a second before
intermission. Please do. Please do. All right, this has been really fun. Do you got anything else to plug before we sign off?
Yeah, if you're interested, please check out the blog, backstagewithb.com. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both backstagewith_B. And this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on, Alex.
Thank you. I have one more question that I forgot to ask before. So you said like, oh, I'm not a performer. I can't sing and I can't act. I thought that too before I got into Broadway Baby, and then I gave it a shot and it worked. Do you think you'd ever give those things another try because you know more now?
Singing, I think I'm a lost cause on. But before the pandemic hit, I was seriously thinking about taking an acting class, you know, even if I didn't perform per se, like in a play like you did, I would love just to get up there and just try my hand at it. So I think, you know, once the world is a little bit normal again, I'd love to try an acting class.
Yeah, I say do it because you built a blog from nothing, which means you can build things. So
thank you. I was a narrator in my 8th grade play. So I have like that one little credit on my resume, but hopefully something more to come.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time on Broadway Baby.